tell me how to get to Sesame Street. The sports machine was Slim, not Sesame Street. But yesterday, the pistol made reference to the New Orleans Pelicans, and you know, which of these kids is doing his own thing? Tell me, can you tell which one? And New Orleans just didn't belong there. And turns out, he was right. Well, we'll see. The Lakers take out New Orleans last night. New Orleans gets a new life, though. They get to play again tomorrow. We have so many different things to talk about. We got playoff scenarios all over the place. NHL and NBA stuff galore. I got plenty of notes from my notebooks. I got plenty of numbers to talk about which teams are predicted to win in the games and in the upcoming series. The Boston Red Sox apparently blew another one in miraculous fashion yesterday. Kenley Jansen blew the save, I guess. Cleveland takes him down. But you can't be a Red Sox fan right now, even though I did wear my Red Sox shirt yesterday proudly because, hey, the Red Sox just been an icon in this area forever. So you want to wear a Red Sox shirt, that's great. In fact, I know I had read something years ago. This is just coming to mind where as a single man out in public at a bar, you were way more likely to be able to make friends with a woman who was a stranger if you were wearing a Red Sox hat because women who grew up in families with a dad who liked the Red Sox just kind of had that in their blood and enjoyed guys who wear Red Sox hats. So that's just a little tip out there for people maybe going out looking to meet somebody every now and then. It's cool to be a Red Sox fan, but it's not cool to talk about them on sports talk radio right now. Not at all. Nor is it cool to talk about like the Patriots draft all day long. And are we going to take a quarterback? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? We know I was saying take Jaden Daniels as the number one pick. For how long? Caleb Williams obviously is going to be the number one pick, it seems. I think the Chicago Bears are making an absolutely huge mistake. But we'll see what happens after the number one pick goes off the board. Will Jaden Daniels go number two to Washington? Or will the New England Patriots get the luckiest thing to happen to their organization since they drafted Tom Brady? Will Jaden Daniels fall into their lap at pick number three? My guess is no. Because New England fans right now don't deserve good things. And I have a segment, third segment today. I'm going to read a Twitter exchange that I had with a so-called, quote-unquote, fan of the Boston Bruins. These Boston fans, you're all so soft. And I'm going to take this next level because why not? As we're kicking things up into the playoffs, the Boston Celtics, the Boston Bruins are both going to have excellent runs. The Celtics, because the road is so easy. Tonight we got Philadelphia and Miami, and I am extremely confident that Philadelphia will be winning that game. I hear they've covered their last 10 games, something like that, or maybe 9 out of their last 10. Yesterday, I know they were favored by 4. Today, it's up to 5.5. Those moves I tend to like when they just jump that much. And I will say, Philadelphia is the one team in the East I'm most afraid of. If you're a Boston Celtics fan, you should be too. But if Philly wins tonight and they get the 7th seed and Philly gets to play the Knicks, whoever is the 8th seed that the Boston Celtics will have to face, it's going to be a cakewalk. Whether it's Atlanta and Chicago who play tonight and the winner will move on to play the winner of the Miami-Philly game tonight, or if it's Miami, because the Celtics are going to be so jacked up to beat Miami, they're actually going to be like afraid for the first time in 60 games, 40 games at least. The Celtics will be playing a team that they like are literally afraid that they might lose to. Denver Nuggets, maybe, okay, maybe that one game 20 games back, that was a big game for us, we ended up losing that one. But I do think any game before that, it's been like 50, 60 games since the Celtics have really been like, oh no, like this team can beat us. And so we don't really know what this Celtics team is all about yet. That's going to be determined over the next 2 months. But if we play Miami in the first round, you're going to just hit a level of gear within the Celts where just energy is like next level. And Miami doesn't have the talent to compete with us. They just don't. And you can talk about how they've gotten these runs the last few years, playoff Jimmy. They don't have the team to beat the Celtics this year. And then in the second round, the Celtics are going to play Cleveland and or Orlando. And those teams have like 0.0 chance to beat the Celtics. So on one side of the Eastern Conference, you got the Celtics are going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's like a definite. Okay, you can bet everything you have on it. Not financial advice. But the other side, I love me some Philly. The more I look at this, Philly playing the Knicks looked great against the Celtics. But when it comes right down to it, like, they're without their best player, Julius Randle. And it's like Jalen Brunson is a great story, but if the Celts really come to play full throttle defense, who else is going to score over there? Like DiVincenzo? Is he going to light the Celtics up? I don't know, man. OG Anunoby? These guys aren't offensive, like big-time weapons. Mitchell Robinson and Hartstein, the big guys for them. Yeah, are they a bit of a threat? Yes, no doubt about it. They're physically, they're size-wise comparable to Kristaps Porzingis, right? Bigger maybe even. Definitely stronger. And mentally tougher. I would say all of those. Like Kristaps has been in the league forever. He's had all this talent for 10 years. What has he done with it? Any of these times except get run out of the Knicks. Knicks fans hate him. And get run out of Dallas. So now he comes here and all of a sudden we think Kristaps Porzingis is the next coming. This guy has been like, you know, a perennial softy. We're all rooting for him. He seems like a nice guy. Like, I want him to win. I like him. But there's an advantage at the big man position with the Knicks over the Celtics. But not against Joel Embiid. Like, the Knicks, I just don't think they have the talent to beat Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid and all the other role players Philly has. So my take is, Philly wins that series, definitely. You got to get through tonight, Philly, and I think you're going to. But once they win that series, then it's Indiana against the Bucks that Philly would play the winner of. Indiana and the Bucks, and right now it's pick. It's 110 on each side. And I'm not sure who's going to win. I'm leaning towards Indiana, definitely. Game one, I would say, man, watch out, because those Bucks, I think they're going to – the messaging for Doc Rivers is going to be batting the hatches, rally the troops. We got to win as many games as we can until Giannis is ready to play, and hopefully he's going to be ready to play game three, game four, game five, whatever. So we got to get a couple of wins until then. So in game one, you're going to get just a maximum efficiency, maximum effort game from the Milwaukee Bucks. And what I will tell you most importantly is – you're going to get a maximum effort from the referees in game one in the favor of the Milwaukee Bucks. Remember I said it because we're probably a week out from that or 4 or 5 days anyway. The refs want Milwaukee to win game one. That's what I will tell you. What I will also tell you is the Boston Bruins lost last night. 3-1. And I said on the air yesterday, I won't be surprised if we lose. In fact, I kind of want to. And I, from watching that game against Washington 2 nights ago, man, I said it. Washington made the Bruins players afraid. The Bruins positioning for the playoffs, it was like set. There was no real advantage no matter what you did. There just wasn't. I mean, I've been saying it for the last week. Like, where do we want to be? Do we want the number one seed? Yeah, if you can get number one, of course you want it. But as I said yesterday, Washington Capitals end up moving forward through a crazy story that I probably ought to tell you about right now because you might not know about this, but Washington Capitals get the 8th seed. They're playing the New York Rangers, and Thomas Pokes texted me last night. He said the Rangers are going to be too much for them. I'm going to tell you something. You watch that first game with the Rangers and the Capitals, and you watch when a puck goes into the corner and watch how Washington Capitals come bearing down. They're looking for like blood out there. And the Rangers are going to have their head on a swivel the same way that the Bruins players did. And crazy stuff can happen in hockey when you're afraid. And that's what happened last night with the Bruins, because it was a continuation factor. 3-1 win by Ottawa. I will talk more about the NHL when we come back from this break. The Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. Very good. Boston Bruins minus 125 favorites for the series against Toronto. Pretty cool how the NHL sets up these playoff matches in division for the two and the three from each division to play against each other. And Tampa Bay was a team I did not want to play. Tampa Bay finishes at the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference. And Washington finishes as the 8th seed. Here's what's amazing from last night that I bet you didn't know about. And it was just sheer luck that I stumbled upon it, because I ended up watching the basketball games. I know how much I said to, you know, Bruins, and I love watching hockey. But last night, my heart, my true heart's desire was shown. And well, maybe it was because I bet some money. But the NBA is what I ended up watching. I ended up watching New Orleans and the Lakers because I wanted to see LeBron play. I used to hate this guy so much, and now I root for him because he really is just such a visionary with passing the basketball. He just, the things he can do and his processing speed mentally on the court, I just got a huge amount of respect for a guy's 40, whatever he is, years old, and he's still out there doing nutso stuff. They almost blew it at the end after being up, what was it, like 18 or 20, and New Orleans closed it to tie a couple of times at the end of the game. But anyway, the hockey, I'm switching back and forth every now and then because I want to see what's happening with the Bruins, and I can see Bruins are struggling. They were down 1-0. Ottawa scored with about 10 minutes left in the second period. That was the first goal of the game. And I knew we might be in trouble. I could see the hangover effect. It's the third game in 4 days for the Bruins. And the night before, they played Washington, and they got beat up. And so now you're playing Ottawa, a team that got blown out the night before, and you're coming home, so Ottawa's in your building. And again, I just say, the Bruins fan base, the Boston fan base, they're not hungry enough. Like, if you're hungry, full throttle, raging in that building, the Bruins are going to win last night. But the fans are not. They're sit on their hands, sit down, be polite, pay $23 for an alcoholic beverage, and then when the Jumbotron at the top of the stadium tells you to cheer and make noise, we have this noise meter that measures, then everybody's, hey! It's so fake, all these fans either getting their free tickets from their companies or these rich people paying $500 a ticket that don't even care to cheer. Now, there's some of them, and I know plenty of fans that are hungry that go to games. Even though we've been hungry for 30 years, you know, we just love the sports aspect of it. But this younger generation is just so sad. It's so sad how they go to these games and just have no idea how to cheer. And this dude on Twitter that I messaged with yesterday, I got to tell you about this in segment three. It's really going to be insane. I should focus this thing more on the Celtics, though, and on the NBA. I want to talk NHL, but we got a caller here that I think wants to talk some Boston Celtics. So come on into the arena. What's happening?
Hey, what's up, Slim?
This is Ozzy, right? You had called the show a couple of times in the past.
A couple of times, usually about the Celtics.
And you worried, or are you feeling good about the Celtics' chances right now?
I don't know. I think there's a collision course between the Knicks and Celtics for the conference. I don't think anybody else has a chance. I think it's going to be Celtics and Knicks. And they're not very similar teams. One's a grinder, tough team. They fight for every rebound, fight for everything. The other one's more of a finesse team. I was wondering which way you think it would go.
Oh, I definitely think from a talent standpoint, the Celtics have the advantage. What would be key to this, Ozzie, is if the Celtics match up against the Knicks, it's going to be in the Eastern Conference Final. So for this Celtics team, we've seen them throughout the regular season be far and away the best squad, right? If you give them two mental challenges and hurdles to get over in the process of getting to the Knicks in the conference finals, I just think the confidence, work ethic, and we're so close to getting back to the finals, I just think the talent combined with that, the Knicks won't be able to beat us at that point is my guess.
Are you saying you don't know for sure if they'll get to that point, or you think if they do get to that point, they'll have proven what they need to prove?
I think that the Celtics playing the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals have too much of a talent disparity. I do think the Celtics are definitely getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think there's any way they lose, unless for some reason the Philadelphia 76ers lose tonight. My pick is the 76ers are going to the Eastern Conference Finals, Ozzie. I just think the talent disparity, again, the Knicks play hard. They're coached hard. Tom Thibodeau, I got so much respect for. He gets the most out of his guys. But I just don't – Embiid and Tyrese Maxey – from an athleticism standpoint, are the two best players on the court when they play against the Knicks?
The Knicks have trouble with Philadelphia for sure, but I their work ethic this year has impressed me so much.
You an old time fan?
Fighters. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that's what it is. We watch basketball and we want to root for the guys that actually like play hard and try hard, and that's the New York Knicks. So it's a pleasing basketball viewing process for us.
It is. Hart and Robinson. Love those guys.
Me too. But Josh Hart, I mean, come on, he's been on like four or five teams. I don't know if the dude's ever won anything anywhere. See, he did back in college, right? He won a national title with Villanova, I think.
With Villanova, yeah. He's a fighter. That's the point, I guess, of the college. That to me, there's a collision course coming, and they're between two very different styles, and I'm interested to see how it goes.
You saying that, Ozzy, there about he's a fighter, I wonder if that's because I heard some talk on another radio station on the way in about the WNBA and the viewership and stuff like that. Do you think maybe that's part of our fascination with, like, Caitlin Clark in Iowa? Even though, like, the talent that's on display, she can shoot threes incredible, but everything else is like, come on, like, she can't rebound. I could out-rebound her every day of the week for, like, you know, all day. I can probably dribble better than her. I can defend better than her, but her shooting is so amazing. But she fights, and that comes across on TV. Do you think that's probably maybe why we like to watch like that squad so much?
Yeah, it's a good comparison to Josh Hart. He's a dog. You know, his hand's always on somebody. He just never stops. But he's a top offensive rebounder. And what is he, 6'4"?
Yeah.
Incredible.
It really is. Incredible. Perfect signing. Yeah. And they got OG Anunoby over there, who I think scraps, and he just looks absolutely huge. So the Knicks against 76ers in the first round will be an insane matchup. I think it could go seven games. I'm so looking forward to that series.
It's a very interesting matchup. The Knicks have trouble with the matchups. They always have trouble with Philly. They have forever.
Well, they got two big guys, Ozzie. If you watch them play the Celtics, Hartstein and their other big guy, Mitchell Robinson.
Robinson.
They kind of physically dominated against us and against Kristaps when we played the Knicks last week. But when they play against the Philadelphia 76ers, those two guys are like small, you know, Embiid.
You would think that because they have those two big bodies, they can throw some fouls at Embiid. Problem is, he makes his foul shots too.
Exactly. So. Yeah, that's where you say, well, the 76ers, like Nick Nurse's first year. Nobody really talks about this, Ozzie, but what an upgrade he is from a coaching standpoint. Like over Doc Rivers, he just, from an X's and O's standpoint, you give him the best weapon in the NBA, and Tyrese Maxey, who's one of the most athletic, gifted players in the NBA, too, you let him like cook some stew here, he's going to find a way to pull the right, put
that
the right
is,
pieces.
That's Nurse's style. He likes to let the players be the players. He likes to let them do their thing.
So what else do you think? What's the thought as far as the other series? We got Indiana against the Milwaukee Bucks, and Giannis may not play at all in that series.
I've liked Indiana all year for the same reasons that I'm attracted to the Knicks. They hustle. They work hard. They're relentless, driving to the basket, the offensive rebound. Miles Turner is interesting as hell, isn't he?
He really is. Yeah, him against Brook Lopez in that series is going to be fun to watch because they're both just huge guys that want to jack up threes, and it's so irritating and annoying to me, but they should. They pretty much should cancel each other out, right?
Good point.
That series, I'm the same as you, because Indiana, it seems like if the team scores against them, they don't like shrug their shoulders and go, oh no, we let up a basket. They're like, get the ball in, push it down, we're going to go shoot a three before they're even ready to get back on defense. And I just love that commitment to that style. And it comes down to coaching. Again, Oz, the teams you're talking about, you like the Knicks, Tom Thibodeau, smart, knows how to get the most out of his players. And I'll say the same thing for Rick Carlisle. Man, that guy left the Dallas Mavericks because he didn't want to coach Luka anymore because Luka played too lazy and he just got fed up with it. So he went to Indiana, and now he's got a group of guys there that will like run through walls for him.
Yeah, that's what he's looking for too. He's an effort guy, and that's an effort team, no doubt about it.
Yep.
And they were a top defensive team for years under Carlisle. Now he's got some weapons, and boom, they score 130 a night.
Watching Aaron Nesmith play against the Celtics this year has been like a nightmare, because I like that guy on the Celtics. I knew he had potential. He's crushing us, and he plays so hard on offense and defense, and he nails his threes now too.
Yeah, what year are we going to start thinking of him as a better player than Jalen? Like 3 years, 2 years? How long will it take?
Good question, Oz. We'll leave that for everybody to ponder as we head to a commercial break. Who would you rather have on this Celtics team, Aaron Nesmith or Jalen Brown? The Sports Machine with Slim. We will wrestle your mind with various topics on WKXL Radio. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester is where we're at on the radio dial. NHTalkRadio.com. We're coming right back. You got to hear this Twitter reaction and interaction I had yesterday. Goes the price of Bitcoin getting crushed. I will tell you all, there is going to come a time this year when you are gonna put some stuff into crypto. I'm just telling you. Been following this stuff for a long time, and there's a lot of games being played right now by the people that have large amounts of coins and the traders. And there is going to come a time when their games will allow them to make more money by letting the price rise. Right now, they're making more money by driving the price lower. And this is stuff nobody is in the weeds about and nobody understands. And so people that are holding on to coins, they say, oh my, look at that, Bitcoin's going down, but look how much all these other things are going down. And nobody understands. It's just, it's all manipulated by the people that control everything. And the topics of the day, and right now it's the halving, which is, okay, cool. And they talk about how much the price has gone up. The last three times has been a halving, and it's all true. But when everybody's on the same mindset, especially all the new people that are into the space and they're saying, oh, I'm going to buy now, that is not the setup. Those little fish money, these people coming in with, you know, hundreds of dollars or a few thousands of dollars, that's nothing but like chum to the big guys that got millions and billions of dollars that they're wheeling and dealing on huge leverage trades with. So they see these little pieces of money coming in to buy, and they just gobble it up like Pac-Man. And they try and drive those people to sell. And it's not a bad thing to sell, because if you can sell and then buy it back at a lower price, that's what you ought to be doing. That is what I figured out in the Bitcoin game, in the crypto game, is what you need to do. But it's tough to know, when do you jump back in? I'm just telling you, it's likely coming over the summer, because the halving, no big deal, coming up in the next couple of days. In May, though, you're going to see the press all talking about these Ethereum ETF applications. And there's two companies, I think VanEck is one, and there's one other big one, that have Bitcoin ETF applications out. But remember, when the Bitcoin ETF thing got signed off on, there were 11 companies, or 10, and Grayscale, ARK Investments were one, but BlackRock, iShares, that was the big one. And BlackRock is tight within the government, like real tight. They're Ethereum ETF application has a deadline for a decision in August. Okay, so two of the Bitcoin ones, the deadline is in May. Well, as we get closer to those, you're going to see the press talking about, oh, are these going to be approved? Are these going to be approved? Odds are no, and that's going to drive the market down more. That's why you saw the price of Bitcoin jump from 75 or drop from 75 down to now 61 and change starting about 3 weeks ago, because at that time, everybody thought these Ethereum ETF applications were going to be approved. They were priced into the market with like a 75% chance of probability of happening. And then they read the tea leaves. They start talking with the people in the government. People start getting their sources. Now it's like 20% chance that those two initial ones are going to be approved in May. So what's going to happen? They're going to get rejected. They're going to need to refile in a different way and different parameters. And everything's going to be based towards August when BlackRock decision is made right before the election. And you're going to see this stuff take off. And then what's going to happen? Everybody's going to be happy because they're making more money. And you're more likely to vote for the political party that is in charge at this time if you have more money in your pocket, because they can say, look what we did. We helped you to make this much more money. And now everybody's feeling good. Vote for us. This is the power play that's going on behind the scenes that nobody talks about. Let's listen to what Al Horford had to say. I think this is from yesterday. I'm just going to play the clip off of my phone, and hopefully it sounds okay, because this is the starting point for my conversation with a dude on Twitter. Let's see if I can gear this up. It says it's a clip on Twitter from Boston Sports on the Celtics playing better at home in the playoffs last year. This is Al Horford.
Last year we weren't good. This year feels different in the way that we've been playing at home, but I just think it's we have an understanding that we have to come out and play and perform. I feel like last year at times we kind of leaned on, we're at home, our fans are kind of got to put us over the top type thing, and the probably the mindset wasn't the best that it needed to be. I feel like now we understand that we have to come out ready to go, and just because we're here at the Garden, we're just not going to win automatically. And I think that we're...
You see that? Right in those quotes from Al Horford yesterday, he said the fans and how important they are to winning. They thought last year, just because we're in Boston, the fans are going to help us win. And this, when I've been telling you for the last 5 months on the radio how much of an impact the fans have in these games, and people listen to me, and I know they're like, dude, the fans don't play. The fans don't really matter. It's like, you people have never played sports before. You have no idea how important the fans are to the success of the team. And this is why, like with the Red Sox, the last time we won the title for the Red Sox, the World Series, our team was predicted to be last in the division. How many years back was this? I don't know, 8 years. Like, we overachieved the entire year. The fan base was hungry the entire year. They fell in love with the team, and we overachieved. The environment in the ballpark every night was not like an expectation that we're going to win. It was a hunger to prove that we could win. The expectations within the Boston Garden right now for the Boston Celtics and for the Boston Bruins, but more so for the Celtics for the last few years, it's the expectations that we're going to win. And that's the problem. That's why we're losing. People want to doubt me on this, but I'm telling you, the fans make a difference. And it's not just me telling you, it's Al Horford just said word for word. Last year we would show up and we thought the fans were going to propel us to a victory. So here's what I got to deal with on Twitter. I saw that article, so I put up a post, a response to it. The Boston Celtics fans are the most overrated in sports. Down in front is their favorite thing to say when someone actually stands up to cheer. This generation of fans need the Jumbotron to tell them when to cheer. And so I get some clown bean show. This guy has like zero followers, so he's just here to antagonize me. Probably a Chinese bot, because they're all out there employed just to try and drive Americans crazy so that they can destroy our country. But this guy says, when's the last time you been to a game, old timer? And so I said, went on Sunday to the Celtics game. Yes, the starters were all sitting, so I expect the crowd to not be amped. But game four of the finals versus Golden State a few years back was an embarrassment. If you think Boston fans nowadays are strong, you have no clue about what the past was like. He says, this takes the cake. Listen to this guy. I went to game three of the finals, and I remember having to cover my ears multiple times. Albeit, I've only been a fan for 10 years, so I don't know what previous teams were like, but I wouldn't call one of the best arenas voted by players an embarrassment. More likely, your nostalgia hitting. And then I responded to him and said, if you cover your ears at an NBA Finals game, sorry, but I can't interact with you anymore. This is the type of fan that we have in the Boston Garden. This is what I'm talking about. This guy said he went to game three of the finals and had to cover his ears multiple times. I rest my case, Your Honor. I rest my case. Those are the fans that are in the stadium. And I am ready to so explode on them on social media here over the course of the next month or 2 months. I just wish I knew how to do it, because it's entertaining as heck. I know I will be entertaining with this, just slamming the spoiled brat New England sports fans. Tom Brady made them so fat, lazy, and just satisfied. Meanwhile, they'll turn tail and complain on Tatum and Jaylen Brown till the cows come home. Just a bunch of spoiled brats this generation. Not me. I'll complain about Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Absolutely. But I'll be the one cheering loudly. I'll be the guy that they're yelling, hey, down in front, I paid $500 for these tickets. I want to be able to watch the game. Meanwhile, it's game four of the finals. We haven't won a title in 20 years, 18 years, whatever. These guys just want to show up and be cool and take pictures for Instagram. I think my rant is just getting started. We're going to have 2 months of this. So if you want to call, 603-224-1450 is the number to do it. WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM Manchester. We'll be right back. We get some more. NHTalkRadio.com. Just in the time when we did last episode, or last segment, sorry. What's that, 12 minutes ago? Told you the price of Bitcoin dropping. Went from 62,000 down to 61,000. Guess what? Right back up to 62,000. How does that happen? You think that's from your, like, $500 buy? Your buddy's $2,000 buy? You think an asset that's, like, over $1 trillion... in value combined fluctuates with the price like that because of your $500, or all of us collected across the country or across the world? It has nothing to do with our buys. It's the big guys. That's how they make the price move like that. The prices for the NBA series, my goodness. Going to go through some of those predictions here and some of those odds discussions, and I'm going to give you a pick, because I just really think the Boston Bruins are going to beat Toronto. It sets up magically for the Celtics in the East, and I believe it sets up as good as it possibly could have for the Boston Bruins in the Eastern Conference for the NHL, because there was no easy series in the first round. Whether you got the number one seed and played Washington, who, if you watch, they beat us up, dude. Let's just call it what it was. Physically, they beat us up two nights ago. That's what happened. And that's why we lost last night, because when you get beat up, all of a sudden, like, that changes your confidence, your outlook everything, especially in a game when you're the big-time favorite and you're going in and playing Ottawa last night, who had lost 4-0 the night before. You think it's going to be an easy win. And I definitely know that I do not know everything, and I can sound convincing as heck, but we all know yesterday I was on the airwaves saying I really loved Golden State to beat Sacramento last night. I mean, I really, really liked Golden State. They lost by like 25. Klay Thompson was 0 for 10 from 3. He about to get run out of town. Post-surgery, he hasn't been the same. You know, that just one too many leg issues. He's just not the same player. Although I would take him on the Celtics because I do think he's a winner. But you're a bench guy now, Klay. Sorry. Just going to have to learn to come off the bench. But the Boston Bruins match up against Toronto. We're going to dig into that tomorrow. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to prepare some real deep notes and discussion. And I am also going to reach out to Toronto sports talk stations. And I'm going to try and get a personality or two from one of those stations to come on the air so we can have some back and forth and I can hear about why they think the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to beat the Bruins, and then I'll be able to tell them why they're wrong and see how they react to that on the air. See if they can like maintain professionalism or if I can just get them to mentally break down like most of those softies up in Canada. The Boston Bruins are going to beat Toronto in that opening series. Right now, they're minus 125 to win the series. It's going to happen, people. And I heard again today, it's going to drive me crazy. I'm going to start calling EEI in the morning on the drive-in. I just am. And maybe I will never get through. Usually, they do put me on. But I every day, they're talking about Scheim this morning. Well, they need to make a decision at the goalie. Montgomery's on the hot seat. He needs to make a decision. It's like, dude, he made the decision. You're just so limited intellectually. And yet you think you're smart. The best chance the Boston Bruins have to go far in the playoffs this year is if they alternate goalies every game. Why is this hard for anyone else to understand? I'm pulling my hair out. Everyone is so dumb. It's amazing. You've watched for 2 years this system worked. You went away from it in the playoffs last year, even though you had a 3-1 lead in the series. You lost. Why? Something changed throughout the series. The mindset of the players, something changed. And you choke away a 3-1 lead, and you lose in game 7. And you start swimming, and it's, oh, question mark. There's no question marks. Don't put any doubt into anybody's mind. The goalie combination is the best, most enjoyable thing about this team. It has been all year long. They root for each other like brothers. Let each brother get a chance. You go tonight. I'll go next time. I buy this time. You buy next time. It's just that simple. The cable guy. Dallas is favored 125 to win their series against the Clippers. And this is one. Because every year, there's opposites. Like, the public's wrong. I said yesterday, remember when the pistol caught? I was like, we're firing off a huge alarm here. We both love Golden State. We both loved the Lakers to beat the Pelicans. Well, it turns out we were right. That's the first game of the night last night, okay? I'm going to let you inside the mind of a guy who understands the betting world to a certain level. And hopefully this helps people in some way, shape, or form. When you have two games last night where the public is on 70%+ of one team in one game and then on 70% of one team in the second game, there is literally no chance they're both going to win. 0.0 chance that they're both going to win. Do you know why? Because people don't win gambling. And if you had both of those teams win last night, then everybody'd be walking around today with winning. And that's not the way it works. There's underdogs that are always going to throw a wrench into the situation. And last night, it was probably the money line on the Ottawa Senators. I mean, on the Bruins to beat the Ottawa Senators. for the parlays. I guarantee you, the hardcore bettors all around that are doing these parlays in New England, I guarantee you they had the money line on the Bruins last night. Well, this is why I say the fans do impact the games. The bettors impact the games. Dude, losers lose. Gamblers that always lose find a way to lose. Their picks don't all win. So if everybody's betting the same sides all the time, there's going to be upsets. And it's sometimes not because of just the players. It's just the luck. A hockey puck can fit through, like, what, a 2-square-inch hole? Like, that hole can be 2 inches to the left, 2 inches to the right. Dudes are moving. It's just luck. In basketball, how did you wake up feeling today? Because sometimes I know I can shoot way better than other days. Like, it's just, that's the way that goes. Sometimes you shoot your first three, it goes in. Okay, man, now I feel good. And it's like you make two or three more. Sometimes you miss your first one, it's an air ball, and you're like, oh no, I don't really want to shoot again. I kind of stink right now. And especially when you're all jacked up in the playoffs. Like last night with New Orleans, Zion Williamson. I mean, how jacked up must he have been to play last night? And how jacked up is he going to be in the next game? I will say, I sent a text to somebody yesterday saying, hey, I don't know how many points Zion's going to score, but for rebounds, I bet he is going to rebound the heck out of the ball tonight. And he ended up having 9 or 10. Well, his over-under was 6, 6.5. So, you know, easy cover. And it was plus 200 for 8 or over. Cashed on that. Phoenix minus 130 against Minnesota, plus 110 in the NBA. Phoenix minus 130. They're the prohibitive favorite against a Minnesota team that, man, they do play defense. That's all I'm going to tell you. They're hungry. They play defense. And I do love me some Anthony Edwards. Can he power his squad through Phoenix? I don't know, because I think Devin Booker's a pretty decent defensive player. So Anthony Edwards, I think, is going to have to work so hard to score. And I don't know that the other guys on his team are going to be able to. I can see why Phoenix is favored in that. I do like Phoenix minus 130. But the fact that they were the number one seed for most of the second half here. They head into the playoffs as an underdog. Yes, they were the 3 seed. Denver's minus 310 to beat the Lakers, plus 250. Can LeBron and squad get it together? I will say, I liked the Lakers last year when they won a couple series and then bowed out to Denver. It was 4 straight, right? So people obviously are going to be right on Denver. Everybody seems to be anointing Denver as like they're definitely going to the finals. Doesn't it seem like something's maybe different with their team? I mean, I know the Kansas City Chiefs win in the NFL. People were doubting them. It's just like Patrick Mahomes finds a way to win. But Jokic, like, he hadn't won ever until last year. So now is he like definitely like a winner? He's just going to find a way to pull it out. Like, they're just a little bit of a different team. That Christian Braun guy, who I do like from Kansas last year, he was coming off the bench. He's a 6th guy, 7th guy, energy guy. Now he starts for them, doesn't he? And I still like him, but it's just different in that role off the bench. They don't have Bruce Brown off the bench. Aaron Gordon was firing on all cylinders. Has that guy always been historically a winner? I don't know. Can the Lakers take them down? It's possible. In the East, we know we like the Celtics to go to the conference finals. I will just say, you take the Bruins to win their series, the Celtics and Philadelphia to meet in the finals of the East, plus 845. Yeah. Let's dig into the Bruins tomorrow. The Sports Machine with Slim here on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Toronto radio stations, are you out there? Sports Talk, answer my call.